Hey, if you're listening to this while avoiding that one thing you're supposed to be doing that you said you wanted to do, well, congratulations, you're my target demographic. Hello and welcome to the Jesus Vibes podcast. Today we're going to be talking about being a finisher, someone who starts something and then finishes it, follows through with it, and maintains it. Now, I can think of several times in my life that I started something, but didn't keep it going. I started writing a couple stories, I started taking dance lessons and guitar lessons, but I stopped short and did not continue with those things to the extent that I originally wanted. And one thing I want to do is change that habit. I don't want to be the guy that starts a project and then gives up halfway. I want to be a finisher. And not just with finishing projects, I want to follow through on commitments I make. I want to be a person of my word. And I have a feeling that you do as well. Now, I don't want this to be a legalistic thing by any means. Not everything needs 100% dedication. And it's not like if you're a non-committal person that you're in sin or a bad Christian. It just means that nobody's actually going to like you. I'm kidding. But I do believe that being a finisher can greatly help you in life. What are the benefits, you ask? Well, for one, people tend to trust a finisher. People like someone they can depend on, and if you're someone that follows through on their word, people will pick up on that and trust you. It'll help you move along in life. Secondly, a committed mindset forces you to be intentional. It forces you to be organized, forces you to plan things out and put reminders. It helps you say no, and it helps you keep track of things. You become dependable when you're setting appointments. You learn to become a clear communicator. And that just makes a world of a difference to the people around you. Thirdly, completing something just feels good. I mean, have you ever felt great after starting something and not following through on it? I mean, I haven't. It's just so satisfying when you set a goal and you can check off that it was completed. And then finally, being a finisher can help your own character and endurance for the hard and difficult seasons in life. Look at what scripture says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work in you so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James 1 verses 2 to 4. So if your immediate impulse when things get hard is to quit, you're going to miss out on the value of perseverance. But when you go through the fire and stand firm, you come out stronger. Commitment and character reap rewards. It's just inevitable. So what I've outlined here is a roadmap for becoming a finisher. And the roadmap has three steps. The first step, when you start a project, be it creative writing, learning a skill, attending a weekly club or whatnot, you have to ask yourself whether this is a pursuit worth following. Is it important? Yes or no? If it is, then make it a priority. And if it's not important enough to be a priority, then don't burden yourself with it. I mean, these are all really good questions to pray about and figure out with God. And let's be real, you can't do it all. There are multiple things that are really good to prioritize, but you're only human. So you're going to have to say no to some good things and yes to some better things. Ask God to help you out and go with what you're realistically able to accomplish. And if you don't have the motivation to do something, you don't always have to pressure or guilt yourself. Sometimes it's okay to put something on the back burner until God gives you the grace to accomplish it. Now, I've been mentioning God quite a bit here. Finding out God's will can be a tricky endeavor. It's good to pray about your decisions and take some quiet time to listen. I believe the Holy Spirit can give us promptings and guidance when we seek out His wisdom. However, I think it's also important to distinguish the guidance of the Holy Spirit from the command of the Holy Spirit. What God has commanded us to do is in the Bible. That's what's spiritually and morally binding on us as believers. But how we choose to serve God or create things is a matter of free will. Just because the Holy Spirit can help and guide us in our endeavor doesn't mean, generally speaking, that God has commanded that endeavor. There are some exceptions, of course. I mean, we know that God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh because he was called to be a prophet by God. However, for most of us ordinary people, I think that what we do for God is largely up to free will. There's room for trial and error, and I just think that's a beautiful thing. I think oftentimes we want God to tell us to go to Nineveh, but the beauty in being a child of God is that God will often wait for us to make our own decision. Now, of course, we need God to bless our decision. We don't want to do something on a whim. However, God does give his children a lot of choices. He may not always give us a clear direction on what to do and where to go. And sometimes we just got to make a decision, take a chance, and see where that decision leads us. God can confirm whether he is for it or against it. We just got to stay humble, surrendered, and teachable. We just got to be childlike in our approach. And then even if we see God's blessing on a decision, it doesn't always mean we should feel guilt and pressure to continue in that decision if we decide to go a different route later on. Okay, so I know that was quite a side tangent, but it was important. So to summarize step one, prayerfully consider and decide the project you want to prioritize and undertake. Step two, when you've decided what you want to do, you need to make a plan. What will this commitment take? Where and when will you work on it? For how long? How many days in a week? Is there an end date, or will this go on indefinitely until God tells you to stop? Then you can write out a schedule and then set reminders, events, and alarms on your phone or calendar so you can keep track of everything. Now, in general, you have to be quick as far as scheduling and writing out your plans. Don't make or agree to a plan without first checking your calendar and writing it down. If you don't keep track of things, you're going to forget and get thrown off course. Unless you're a computer. Like an actual computer. Okay, so the principle in general can also apply to group activities. So let's say there's this club that you've wanted to attend on Tuesday nights, but you can't attend because of your work schedule. And then one day you get approved to change your shift at work and your Tuesday nights are free. Now, when that happens, that is the moment when you take action. Make a plan. Make a commitment to start attending that club and write it down. Because I'm telling you, if you don't make a strong commitment, things are going to pop up that are going to try and steal your attention away. Decide what's important to you and be dedicated to it. And hey, maybe you actually want your Tuesday nights to be free. Maybe you don't want to tie yourself down to a commitment so that way you have some more levity to do what you want. That's perfectly fine. But still, be intentional when you make any decision like that. And then step three, you need to find ways to make your project enjoyable. Because misery is not a recipe for long-term sustainability. So, for example, I don't enjoy writing when I'm at home. However, if I go out to a public place or do a study hall with my friends, I'm a lot more motivated to write. Another thing that helps me out is accountability. Every day, I message a friend of mine what my goals are for that day, and then the next day, I have to tell him whether or not I met them. Having someone there to witness the accomplishment of your goals can be very motivating and rewarding. As a matter of fact, I've been able to sustain a habit for over 2 years straight because of accountability. So for you, you need to figure out what's going to make your project more enjoyable. What's going to keep you motivated? Try different things out and see where they take you. So there you have it, a three-step roadmap to becoming a finisher. But of course, there are some important questions to consider. Like, what if I just lose my passion and motivation for what I want to do? I was excited about learning how to code, but now coding has become hard. It's become a chore. How do I know when it's time to quit or give up on a project? Well, in response to that, I think there are three things to consider. First, difficulty is not a bad thing. Think of it like lifting weights. When you go to the gym to work out, you need some resistance. You need some weight to push or pull against. That's what strengthens you. So could the difficulty you're facing be an opportunity for you to build strength, resilience, and growth? If so, it may be worth it to endure some discomfort. But the second possibility is that you're trying to lift too much weight. Are you putting unreasonable burdens and expectations on yourself? You don't have to. Make the project easy, make the project fun. There will come a time for you to grow and add resistance, but now may not be the time, so take it slow. And then the third possibility is that it may actually be time to quit. If your project is crushing you rather than challenging you, if there's just no passion and it's affecting you negatively, if there's something better you can be doing, or maybe you just want your free time back, then there's no shame in throwing in the towel. Don't guilt yourself into maintaining misery. Now, the exception, of course, is if it's a moral obligation that God has commanded you to endure, like staying in a marriage, you know, with someone you've actually married, or caring for your children. But if there's no moral obligation, then generally speaking, I think you have some freedom. And then remember, there's nothing wrong if you simply need a cheat day or a break from something. I remember one time I was on this pretty strict diet. I was at a gathering and someone had brought cake because it was my birthday. And man, oh man, did I feel the tension rise within me. Was I going to stick to my diet or was I going to enjoy a nice dessert with my friends to celebrate my own birthday? I decided to eat some cake and I do not regret doing so. I mean, it wasn't going to kill me that one time. Having a committed mindset does not mean torturing yourself. Just have a plan to get back into your routine after you decide to take a break. Cheat days can be destructive if they're taken without any thought or plan for getting back on course. Now, of course, there are some things that you simply cannot cheat at or it's going to ruin you. If you're a recovering alcoholic, then taking that one sip of alcohol can lead you to destruction. It's not worth it, no matter how torturous sobriety is. And while I'm not an alcoholic, there are some habits that I simply will not compromise on, because I know that if I break my streak, that will lead me toward destruction. So you just need to know your own limits. And I think the Bible summarizes this topic pretty well. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1, 5, 6, and 7. So, all in all, what I hope this episode has given you is some structure and guidance. Some of this may have been stuff you've already known, and some of it may not have been. But at least now you have a roadmap, so you have some kind of framework to work out of. Identify what you want to do, make a plan for doing it, and then figure out ways to make it enjoyable. I pray this framework gives you clarity as you pursue your calling and your purpose. May the Lord bless you, and all praise, all honor, all glory be to God forever. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen and amen.